Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
You know, our church next month turns 20 years old. It's our 20th year anniversary next month. In fact, Game Day weekend is our 20th year anniversary as a church. And yet, you know, in our 20-year history, we've had some momentum, some momentous things occur. But message-wise, I really feel like these 3 weeks are so critical to the history of this church. In a sense, it's going to be a pivot. After 20 years, we're going to pivot. And when I say pivot, it doesn't mean we're going to abandon anything. There's just a direction that we're going to pursue with greater intentionality. And, you know, I've been in the ministry now almost 32 years. Next month, I turn 53, October 6th, I turn 53. And you realize that life, you don't get more life added to you. The sand in the hourglass goes away. And so this series called Legacy is about making a difference with our lives beyond our lives. Now, you might say, well, look, I'm not 53 or 63 or older. I'm 25 years old. This isn't going to apply to me. Actually, it's just the opposite. The sooner you get this understanding of how to live a life of legacy, how to be a legacy liver, until when you learn that, I'm telling you, during this 3 weeks, you are going to discover things that it will open doors that will never open otherwise. It will open things within your life that will never otherwise be open if you don't learn how to live a life of legacy. And during these 3 weeks, I'm going to share about legacy living. And I'm going to share with you 3 legacy initiatives that I believe God has burned in my heart for our church. That over the next 15 to 20 years, and over the next 15 to 20 is running toward the end of my tenure. And I didn't say I'm leaving the planet. But, you know, can I tell you something about the next generation in this church? I hear people disparage 20-somethings and teenagers and 30-something. They're this and they're that. Let me tell you something. The 20-somethings and 30-somethings in this church are incredible people. They are incredible people. Let me tell you, this church is in awesome hands for the future. Because let me tell you, the battles they're waging in their 20s and 30s are battles that we didn't even think about in our 20s and 30s. And yet they walk, that means they're walking with God and they're on fire. And yet we have a responsibility and legacy that it matters what you do. It matters what you pursue with your life. Legacy living will take you into a whole other level of life. It will cause you to live life fully. In fact, don't miss next weekend, because next weekend I'm going to show you in the scripture how the Bible tells you to live a fulfilled life. I mean the kind of life where you wake up in the morning and something inside you is on fire that compels you toward your day. Do you know you were meant to live that way? You weren't meant to live half dead. You were, you know, about 10 years ago, in fact, 10 years ago, this past week, I was at a funeral. It was the funeral of my spiritual father. I had come up under his ministry, and I didn't know him well personally at all. Yet I went to his Bible school, and I grew up under his ministry, and I was at his funeral. Now, the night before the funeral, there was, of course, the casket was there, and people came by, and there were, over the days of the funeral celebration, there had to be close to 10,000 people passed through there. And I remember that the night I went, the line literally was about a quarter of a mile. And I walked, I waited my turn in the line and paid my respects. And the way it was set up is the line was single file. So you could literally come really close up to the casket, but there was just a line of people in front of you. So after I had paid my respects and said hello to the family, I went back up there and I was just standing there. Now, you know, in my life, there's been, and I think if you've been a Christian any length of time, you're going to have these seasons, these moments in your life. They don't happen every day or every month, and sometimes not even every year. But there'll be times when God speaks to you in a way that is so real, it's undeniable. And it's, I don't mean an audible voice. I don't mean seeing an angel. But I mean an experience where God, through your inward man, is having a conversation with you, and it's as real as if you're talking to a person. And that happened while I was standing at that coffin. As I looked at that man's body who devoted his life to the gospel, and I realized the fruit that his life had borne, not 10,000 people had gotten saved under his ministry. There were at least 10,000 leaders and ministers in the body of Christ serving because that man followed God. And I remember standing there just looking at him, and I had, you know, seen tons of my friends I hadn't seen in years. There were renowned ministers from all over the world that flew in to honor this man. The who's who of Christianity was there. And for the people that were there, they were people that he had a direct impact in their life. And I remember just standing there thinking, look what one person who honors God can do if they'll just trust God and make a difference with their life. And I thought, what an amazing legacy to leave. Everything that happens in this church is partly as a result of his life. And there are hundreds and literally thousands and thousands of churches across the world and pastors and ministers who have come up under that ministry. While I was standing there at that coffin, the Lord spoke something to my heart that was so real. And I know the scripture that he was referring to, but these words came up in me. He said, number your days. Now, the scripture says in Psalms 90, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. And so I knew that scripture. And so what he's basically saying is that teach us that our lives are limited. They're finite. Teach us to number them. And knowing that our lives are finite, it will cause us to apply our hearts to wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to make wise choices. Wisdom is the ability to live in today without causing regret tomorrow. Wisdom is the ability to make decisions today that produce legacy tomorrow. Most people live and they die and they never live a legacy life. Because all they ever do their whole life is fight through their own problems. Now, we all have problems. But you were meant for more than solving problems. You were meant for more than getting through this month's bills and paying next month's bills and dealing with the next problem that comes up. And I knew what God was dealing with me, and I really did. I went back to my hotel that night and I numbered my days. I was 43. That was 10 years ago. A decade has passed like that. It feels like an hour. And it's been 10 years like that. Gone. And I literally numbered my days that if I lived as long as this man lived, that I would have about 44 years left of human life on the earth. Now it's down to 34. That it quit. I mean, 10 years just went pow, that quick. And in those 10 years time, we left that little building over on the other side of Cranberry. We built that building over there and filled it, built this building, and we're soon to fill it. God, in 10 years. I'll tell you something about legacy living. It will take you further than you ever thought possible with your life. It will move you beyond your problems. It will move you beyond your limits. It will move you beyond any limitations that you either have innately within you or were given to you by family. How many of you have some limits that family give you as a gift? Anybody have any of that running around you? How many of you had some training just to go stupid just from the family? I'm not putting our families down. It's just life. It matters that you live a legacy life. 9 years ago this past week, another person died. There weren't 10,000 people at her funeral. There were a lot of people there. But it didn't. The main Christian publications didn't put her name in it. They didn't go on the Christian publications, the Christian Wire. And yet she had an amazing impact in her life. And the reason I want to talk to you a little bit about her is about, I don't know, a couple weeks ago or so, going on Facebook, and I have to go through Michelle's page to get to the page that I use. I saw a post from her daughter. In fact, then last week I saw a post from another one of her children, her other daughter. She has two girls and a boy. And then I called them both, as well as called their dad and asked for permission to be able to talk about their mom. You see, her name was Judy Stidell. And when she passed away, she didn't die at an old age. Her daughters were very young. Her son, they were young. They were either in their teens or in their early 20s. They were very young. And I want to read to you what her daughter wrote. Her daughter, Christy, who just recently had a baby. Listen to what Christy wrote about her mom last week. She said, actually writing in a sense to her mom. She said, even though you are no longer here on this earth, your legacy lives on in me. I can still hear you saying, the secret to life is to give your life away. go and change the world. Thank you, Mom, for pursuing God and changing lives for Him. Now it's time for me to raise up world changers. And what she told her kids, you're a world changer. The secret to life is giving your life away. That's one of the greatest wisdom statements I've ever heard in my life. It really is the secret to an abundant life, is learning to give your life away. And when her kids were small, she started a youth meeting in her house. And her husband Mike tells that so many kids were coming. It was an addition they had built on their house. He actually had the engineers come to inspect the foundation because there were so many people, they didn't think the foundation was strong enough to handle that many people. And at her funeral, something very interesting happened. I've done a lot of funerals as a pastor. And you know, you're always prepared to speak at a funeral. And at this funeral, like in many, you say, well, if there's anybody that is here would like to say something, please feel free. The family would like you to say something. And when I said that, people got out of their seats everywhere and lined up down the walls. And it wasn't like a handful. But interestingly enough, it wasn't her friends. It wasn't her husband's friends. It wasn't really even just her children's friends. They were all people that she gave her life away to. Young people who flew in to honor her. And eventually it was going on so long that Mike actually got up and stopped it. And in a sense said, hey, guys, she was still human. And he honored his wife. And I didn't even speak. Why? Because what can you add to that? She lived a life on purpose. She did what she told her kids to do. She gave her life away. And I'm going to quote her husband and her other daughter throughout this message today. But I want you to see that the circumstances of your life don't have to be perfect to be a legacy liver. Listen, life is not perfect. All of us have things that we wish were different in our lives. If you're waiting for everything to line up before you start to live beyond yourself, you'll never, ever, ever, ever get there. Legacy living is about living the life of a world changer. You are called to be a world changer. This series is about you being a world changer personally and we being a world-changing church. Now, what I'm about to say can sound critical against churches, and I don't mean it that way because I deeply respect pastors and churches. But I can't tell you how many people go to church week in and week out. And their whole reason and mission for their church existing is to have a service. They come in, they do their thing, and they go home. And they shake the guy's hand maybe on the way out. Nice message, pastor, or good sermon, or whatever. Can we all agree that Jesus didn't die for that? That He didn't hang on a cross so we could take an hour and a half out of a weekend, show up together, sing 3 hymns and 2 hers, and go home? That is not what the church is here for. It is to be the hands and the feet of a Savior. It is to be the living example, the living embodiment of the power of God to a culture that is gone south, a culture that is broken and desperate. Not a group of people to condemn, but a group of people to lift, to be a world-changing church. And you are called to be a world changer. I can't give you any better advice than Judy gave. Go give your life away. Go be a world changer. Legacy livers know how to give their life away. They learn the secret of living beyond their limits, beyond their problems, beyond their resources. And they make a difference in their life. And so for years, I've had people either that I've heard have said, or people just, you know, some, bless their heart, some people just tell you stuff. Anybody just know people that come up to you and tell you stuff? You don't want to know it. You don't want to hear it. But they just feel like it's their God-given ability and right to tell you. And I don't mean older people. You know, people get really old, they lose their filter. You know, it's true. I mean, go find an 85-year-old and you haven't seen him in 10 years. You put on 30 pounds. First thing they say to you, they go, my God, you're fat. Everyone else will look at you and say, oh, you look wonderful. Just look wonderful. The old person will go, no, you don't. You're fat. So I don't mean that kind of loss of filter. I just mean people think it's their job to go tell everybody what they think they know. Which, by the way, is not much of a ministry. You can keep that one. But that's another story. But through the years, I've had people, in a sense, come and say this to me. You know, John, all you are, this church's victory thing, all it is about numbers. It's just a numbers thing. You're all about numbers. Let me be really clear. It is all about numbers. I'm guilty as charged. It is about the numbers of people that can come and have their life changed. Because every one of those numbers is somebody's son, is somebody's daughter, somebody's mother, somebody's father, somebody that somebody loves that's been on their knees praying and believing God. And I want that number to be as high as it can possibly be. That's God's plan for the church. It is His plan. And let me say this with all humility. If you're looking for a safe church, if you're looking for a church that has goals that can be met without God showing up, if you're looking for a church that's, quote, church in the box, if you're looking for a church that's just about you and what you want, you're in the wrong place. Because we are not here for that. We are here to join forces and hands with a master, the head of the church, a blood-stained Savior. And to go reach our world for Christ. I don't want to see a couple hundred people come to Christ. I want to see tens of thousands of people come to Christ in this building. That's what it's built for. So, well, that's just ridiculous. Who do you think you are? I don't think I'm anybody. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. But let me tell you who you are. You are a child of the living God. You are a part of a blood-bought church. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You are a child of the living God. The greater one lives on the inside of you. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. You are the head and not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. You are a legacy liver. That's who you are. That's who you are. And you don't think in terms of limits. You serve a God of unlimited potential and power. And we join forces together with him. This is a church for people who need a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance, and a 56th chance. This is a church where somebody who's gone through a messy divorce, and it was their fault, can show up and get their life put back together. This is where somebody went through a messy divorce, and it wasn't their fault, and they can get their life put back together. One can learn to forgive, and the other can learn to be forgiven. This is a place where families can be put back together, where divorces can be canceled, where marriages that are mediocre can go to higher heights. That, and I don't want to see that happen in one or two. I want to see it in numbers we can't count. That it's happening like popcorn. You ever, when popcorn starts, what's it do? Pop, pop, pop. That's church for most people. I want it this way. How many know the part when popcorn starts? It's popping so much you can't count it. That's a message. Popcorn church. Man, that's good. I like that. Write that down. Popcorn church, man. Guys, when you're a legacy liver, it enables you to do three things very well. It enables you to love God passionately. It enables you to serve others selflessly. And it enables you to live intentionally. All of us, you're a Christian. Most of you here know Christ. Let me ask you a question. Don't you just want to know how to love God passionately? I don't mean religion. I don't mean some fake thing. But I mean, really, that you know how to walk with God and love Him with all your heart? Isn't that a desire of yours? Isn't it a desire of yours to truly learn how to serve others selflessly, to move into that realm, to live your life on purpose, to live it intentionally? See, legacy living takes you into another realm. See, most people see this kind of living as sacrificial. What I have to give away, what I have to give up, what I have to lay down, what will be taken away from me. Most people see serving God as a kind of just all sacrifice. And can I tell you about the sacrifice of serving God? It is a sacrificial lifestyle. But it doesn't bear on the burden of my sacrifice. It is on the burden of His sacrifice. And when you learn to live a legacy lifestyle, it literally enables you to go into another realm. It drops boundaries. It drops borders. The boundaries that life has given all of us. The sorrows that have just imprisoned so many. The desperation that so many in this room right now, because of things that have happened to you, things maybe that you've even done that are your own fault. Or things of no fault of your own have been happened or done to you in your past or through a relationship, maybe a bad marriage or parental situation, whatever, abuse. You can live within the prison of those limits all your life. And something inside you will yearn for a greater life. And if you don't know how to give your life away If you don't know how to be a legacy liver, you will live inside the confines of that prison your whole life. You will live in this silent sorrow that will slowly ebb away your desire to do anything great with your life. And you will learn to live a life of just simply settling from one problem to the next to the next. And you were made for greater than that. God has called you for more than that. And there's a way to do it in the middle of the mess. There's a way to do it in the middle of you still being you. There's a middle of you, a way for you to do it in the middle of your imperfections. You say, well, I'm not perfect. You might say, well, let me say it this way. You might be here today and say, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty close. That tells me you're single. Single people can just be alone long enough, they convince themselves. Get you married, you'll find out. Someone will look at you and say, there's a bunch of stupid in you. Jesus needs the help, but I still love you, even though there's stupid in you. No, come on now. Life's real, isn't it? You know, let me talk to you just a little bit about these next 2 weeks. It's particularly next week. How many of you really want to know how to live a fulfilled life? I'm talking about getting up in the morning and something inside you is like an excitement, not a made up, put on thing, but something on the inside that's like an ember always burning. Kind of like Tuesday night at 8:05 when the Pirates play the Cincinnati Reds in Pittsburgh in the playoff game. We get to beat the Cincinnati Reds. How many of you are going to be feeling some? That's going to be a fun night. I will be watching TV that night. I'll be watching it on high def. Do not call me. I'm watching the game, man. Are you kidding? I've been waiting 20-some years to watch this. How many of you would like to live a fulfilled life? We're going to talk about that in this series. Don't miss it, please. In fact, this is a 3-week series, but it's the truth, it's a 4-week series. Game Day is the 4th week of Legacy. Game Day is when we're going to come together and we are going to do the works of Jesus. We are going to fill this building, this campus, with students, with people, with young adults, with old adults, with people that need Jesus. And we are going to see 500 people come to Christ that weekend. Can you believe God with me? The first step is you take that name, you write it down, and you pray and believe God over that person, and then you go for it. Jesus said it this way. He said, you go into the highways and the hedges, and you compel them to come. Grab these invitations and give them out to people. Say, well, what will people think of me? Does it really matter? Listen, people either like you or they don't already. You know that, right? You know that when you walk up to them, they're not deciding at that moment. They either like you or they don't. And not only, you know, not everybody's going to like you. It's okay. So what if they don't understand? It's okay. It's worth the risk. What if they come and give their life to Jesus and miss hell and go to heaven because you honored God? Is it worth it? Guys, we're talking about eternity. We're talking about forever and ever. We're talking about a day that can change eternity. We're believing God for 500 people to give their life to Christ. Take this thing, roll it up and stick it in the fence. And we're going to be believing God together. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 34. In Mark 8, 34. Jesus said these words. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me in the gospel will save it. Jesus shows us the paradox of Christian living, that you've got to give something away. You've got to lay something down in order to find it. We lose ourselves when we give ourselves to something, or more importantly, someone, Christ, greater than ourselves, greater than our individual accomplishments, greater than our wants, greater than our desires. You see, when you are greater than the purpose in your life, when you become more important to you than your purpose for life, what you end up with is a career. And that's okay. A career is actually where you find yourself, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you find yourself as a Christian in order to lose yourself. And can I submit to you that most Christians never even do that? They never even find the purpose that they're really here. I was preparing this message for weeks and had the opportunity to hear a message John Maxwell spoke, and I kind of made some changes based on what he spoke and took some of the things he said and kind of reworked it and put it in here. So you're allowed to do that as a pastor? Oh, yeah. Many people never find their purpose. And some people that think they found their purpose haven't. I love the story he told, and it's a true illustration, is that not everybody who thinks they found what their reason to be is, they haven't found it because they're not very good at it. You know, you'll be good. There'll be something innately in you that makes you good at what you find your purpose for. How many of you know there are people that... Okay, American Idol tryouts. You ever watch those? You ever watch when somebody grabs that microphone and it is so bad, and they don't know it. They're singing their heart out, and it just bothers me when I watch people in that situation. It just makes me uncomfortable, and I just want to mute or fast forward it right away. So, well, how can you do that so quickly? Because I'm the man, and I always have the channel changer in my hand, in my house. It is in our wedding vows. I promise to hold the channel changer. It is a man thing. It's like getting the mail. I need to get the mail. The mail. Any men, any of you ladies have husbands that, where's the mail? I like the mail. Makes me scream. Makes me want to wag my tail. When the guy goes, mail! Blue's Clues. Anybody watch some Blue's Clues in your life? I used to be able to quote that verbatim, but I haven't been around Blue's Clues for a while. Give me some grandbabies. My Blue's Clues days will come back. Is he still on, Blue's Clues? Steve, is Steve still on? No, Steve's gone. Oh, that's brutal. Look, when you're bigger than your purpose, you end up with a career. It's where you find yourself. It's where you find success in life. It's where you go, really, if you really get down to it, that's when you look out for you. It's when you figure out how you're going to advance, how you're going to achieve. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's also where you can become trapped and being married, John, their two kids, therefore, and no more philosophy. That all you ever live for is advancing your own circle. And you, everything, every thought you have, every investment you do, everything you do with your time, everything you do with your talent, everything you do with your money, it's about your four and no more. Your four and no more. That is half-dead living. No Christian was called to live that way. That is a fear-driven, miserable way to live, and it will end up consuming you, and you end up spinning in a circle, and you may get some achievement, you may get own this and get that and drive this and go here and go there, but inside there will be a void in your soul that nothing but legacy living will fill. Nothing. But when your purpose becomes larger and bigger than you, you step into what the Bible calls a calling. And let me tell you, every person who names Jesus as the Lord of their life, you have a calling on your life from God. You have a calling on your life from God. And when you step into a calling, it becomes bigger than you. It's where you begin to lose yourself. It's when you move from success into significance. Losing yourself is when you get a calling that will move you beyond your own needs, your own wants, and even your own personal successes. And it's not just you anymore. It's bigger than you. It's moving from success to significance. Success is when I add value to myself. That's finding myself. Significance is when I add value to others. That's losing myself. And I would submit to you that most Christians never do either. Most Christians never find themselves to lose themselves. And very few people find their significance. Very few, and the percentage is so low. Let me illustrate it to you in a way that, and I don't say this to make anybody feel bad, so hear this in context. The average, let me put it in terms of great. The churches in America that have 30% of their people that go to their church giving, 30%, giving into the church on a consistent basis for the mission of Christ in the earth, they are considered the top giving churches in America. That means 70% of some of the greatest churches that you'll ever see, 70% of their people never do anything to further the cause of Christ other than be at church. They are living just in the place of helping me. And that's okay. We all go to those seasons of life. Our percentage is here. It's still higher than the average, but it's below 30. You say, well, man, that I know. You say, if it's below 30, then I just talked to a lot of people that might feel badly about what I said. Listen to me. Don't feel badly about it. Use it as a barometer to understand that I need to move to a place in my life where I'm living beyond myself, where I live for more than me, where I don't have to wait for everything to be in the row before I start to give my life away. And if you're waiting for everything to be perfect before you become a legacy liver, if in fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, if you don't lose yourself, you'll never find yourself. In giving your life away, you save it. In giving your life away, you partner with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He begins to do something in my life, in your life. He takes you places you never dreamed possible. He initiates things in your heart. The boundaries and the borders that life throws up at every turn, He knocks them down. And He says, walk over there. He teaches you how to walk through walls. He teaches you that when barriers come up and say, not for you, not for you. You're not smart enough. You're not fast enough. You're not bright enough. You're not educated enough. You're not whatever enough. That legacy liver learns how to partner with the living God, and you walk right through those walls, and they crumble around you, not because you're strong, but that you're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You've learned to live in a way where you partner with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Maker of all things. You become His partner. Legacy livers go places no one ever dreamed possible with their life. And let me tell you, I dream for that for you. I long for that for every person. Every person on this planet. Certainly every child of God. That's why Jesus said these words in John 15, verse 12 and 13. He said, my command is this. Love each other. In what quality? As I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You see, this kind of lifestyle, legacy living, it isn't when you give God a portion of your life. It's when you lose your life entirely for His purpose. And in losing your life, you find it. Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that people seek for, God will add to you. See, most people think legacy living means you do without. It's just the opposite. It means you choose to lay it down so that the God of all creation can add it to you. Can I tell you something about when God adds to you? Ain't nobody doing subtracting. Can I tell you something about the God that we serve? When He puts His hand on a man or a woman and begins to exalt them in due time because they've humbled themselves, there is not all the demons in hell, all the people on earth that don't like you. No one will stop that person's ascent. Because their ascent is not based on their own goodness. Their ascent is based on their partnership and legacy living with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they've humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. That the Scripture said that He may exalt you in due time. And let me tell you about God when He exalts you. He doesn't just exalt you. He exalts your family. He takes your family out of the garbage that your family may have lived for in through in generations. Stuff that has broken hearts in your family lineage for generations. Your children will never have to suffer through legacy livers. Leave the past behind them. And they go on to live in a realm that will take you to places you never dreamed of and take your children out of places you hope and pray they'd never see. I know the greatest desire of every parent that I know, God, I don't want them to make my mistakes. I don't want them to know our sorrows that were avoidable. Legacy livers take generations with them. It's an incredible way to live. When you live this way, guys, giving your time, giving your talent, giving your money to God and His purposes, it's not coercive. It's reflexive. You learn to live this way. Most Christians do what they do because they're afraid. They do anything for God, they've been compelled. They've been made to feel guilty. Most Christians that give, they have to see a picture of somebody that makes them feel bad about themselves. Or they have to feel guilty. Or somebody has to tell them that, you know, you should feel badly about it. No, listen. The Bible said, don't give that way. He said, don't give out of reluctance. Don't give out of compulsion. See, be a cheerful giver, one whose heart is in their giving. Legacy livers aren't coerced to do anything. They learn to live at a higher level. Guys, it's an incredible way to live. And I know just by percentages, there's so many people hearing me right now, you've never moved into this realm for your life. These next 2 weeks, I'm going to teach you from God's Word how to live a legacy lifestyle. And the seeds that will be planted into your heart will, if Jesus tarries His coming, can benefit future generations in a way that all the money in the world can. You know, in my journey to learn to live this way, in my journey to lose myself into a purpose larger than myself, there's been three steps that I can track that are very clear and delineated in my life. Now, please don't misinterpret this to hear me say that I have all these things down and pat in my life and they're perfect. They're not. They're really not. I'm growing in these things like you are. It's very easy to drop back into the need phase of life. But I learned something really quickly that number one was this. I knew, and this is the beginning, I wanted to make a difference with my life. You know, everybody really feels that way. So I don't know that I feel that way. No, everybody starts wanting to make a difference. Go ahead and ask a child. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be Superman. I want to be Wonder Woman. Is Wonder Woman still out there for kids? I want to be, there is something great, something grand. I want to play in the NFL. I want to play in the NBA. I want to play in the WNBA. Women's National Basketball. Okay, anyway. Something great. Go ahead and see a kid. Get a 7-8-year-old kid, you're outside playing. Hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Unemployed. Woo! I want to be divorced 3 times. Woo! I want to be broke, middle management, where everybody takes advantage of me. Woo-hoo! No, there's greatness in children, isn't there? Until life begins to take it away. People tell them what they can't do. No, it's in everybody. You want to do, I want to do something that really mattered with my life. But really, guys, this is about personal success. This is real, and there's nothing wrong with this. It's the focus. It's where you start. But for me to move beyond this, I had to move beyond self-interest. It had to die. I had to realize that in laying down my life, I'd find my life. I look back at this season of my life and I realize this. 90% of the prayers I prayed were about me. 90% of the things I asked God for had to do with what I needed, what I wanted, my fears. I spent 90% of my life focused on me. And listen, don't feel badly if you're there. That's all of it. And listen, life can put you in a position you can drop back there in an hour. But you don't want to live there forever. And listen, you said, but that's where I'm at. Thank God you're in a church that'll fight life through with you. That'll pray with you and believe God with you. And that's okay. But it's not okay just to stay there. So that first phase of just simply staying where you were, staying in that place, I want to make a difference. It moved to another phase in my life where I wanted to make a difference doing something that made a difference. This is where I began to lose myself in my walk with God. It's when I began to move into another realm. I remember distinctly one of those times again when God dealt so seriously with me about an issue. It was during the 90% phase of my prayer life. And I used to spend hours, and I'm just telling you the truth. I'd spend an hour at a time just telling God all the stuff I was having trouble with. And really what it amounted to was me worrying and then throwing Jesus' name on the back of it. Anybody ever worry in the name of Jesus? Am I the only other one that's ever done that? And God spoke to my heart when I finally got quiet enough for Him to do anything. And you know, because prayer with God, talking with God should be a two-way street, right? And He spoke these words to me. He said, son, I didn't call you to survive. I called you to thrive. Everything you're doing is about you, what you need. I want you to live beyond what you need. And I realized that I was living my life focused on what I needed, which is okay in a season. But he was at that time, he took me higher and he said, no. I want you to live beyond your needs. I want your life to be an influence to many. I want you to be used to help people, not just focus on using or gathering people to help you. And there's a season in our life where that's okay. The legacy livers long to live beyond their own needs. And you can live that way as a Christian, even in the midst of needs. It's an incredible way to live. It's an incredible way to live. Every one of us are called to do it. It's when my desire for significance began to emerge in me. It's when my desire for personal success was diminished and my desire to do something that would add value to others increased. It was when living for something greater than myself began to take root in my life. It's when we walked away from an established ministry and moved to Africa as a couple. You know, we had traveled for years and our ministry had developed to the point to where my schedule was full and we were speaking in churches constantly and there was a sufficient income into the ministry. We were able to have a life and it was great. And yet God dealt with us to stop it all and go to Africa and live there. That may sound, well, that's no big deal, but it is a big deal because there was no income if we go to Africa. We were going to go and pour into people, but we wouldn't be speaking in churches and there'd be no income. So there's this very difficult thing of eating, you know, and yet, but when you move beyond yourself, Not only did God bring the resources to get us over to Africa, He brought the support to us to enable us to do that. And we were able to spend a year of our life serving in that amazing continent. Guys, oh, I got to tell you, if you have a bucket list, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that next week. But listen, if you can see Africa before you leave the planet, if you can go to Victoria Falls, if you can go to Table Mountain in Cape Town, South Africa, if you can, there's places in Africa and the people, oh, they're incredible. We fell in love with the people of Africa. We fell in love with that continent. It was an amazing thing. And to be able to give our lives for something and do something with our lives that mattered and made a difference. And then there was another phase that we began to move into in life. And that was the phase where we wanted to make a difference doing something that made a difference with people that made a difference. That's why I listened to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 6. Leave your impoverished confusion and live. This is out of the Message. Walk up the street to a life of meaning. You're meant to have a life of meaning. Let me quote to you something Mike Stidell wrote to me when I asked permission to talk about his family situation. Here's what he wrote. He said, while we can all point to the impact of Judy's influence in our lives, I've come to realize that the way she lived her life and her legacy are a mere reflection of Christ's sacrifice and influence in our lives. It was the realization of that legacy that continues to inspire me today and has convinced me to live believing my best and most impactful days are still to come. What an amazing thing that one person can do. And then the domino effect of how Mike has lived his life. Mike has served our 20-somethings here and blessed our church, and his kids are serving. They're incredible. Christy and her husband Matt are serving in our youth, and Laura and her husband Bubba for years. Bubba was here working with our students, and Laura, they're out. Actually, they were at a retreat this past weekend speaking, and they have jobs, but they're living. They're doing exactly what her mother said: give your life away, go change the world. But the third phase that every person should long to get to is to make a difference doing something that makes a difference with people that make a difference. That's why this church 20 years ago starting was an incredible part of this journey for us. Because really great things in life take a team. One is too small of a number to achieve anything great or significant. And that's what makes Victory Family Church such a vibrant place and so relevant. Because hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are serving all over the place, all the time, lifting people here in the context of the ministries that exist here and outside of this church constantly. It's an amazing thing that God has done. It's an incredible way to live. And I long for every one of us to live this way. Let me read you, finally, one last quote. This is from their daughter, Laura. This was several weeks ago or so, I believe. Listen to what I saw that she wrote, and it was so impacting to me. She said, there is a generation before us of parents and teachers, mentors and pastors that sacrificed and stepped out in faith with a vision to expand the kingdom of God. We are now living in the harvest of their acts of obedience. We can't stay here and keep comfortably living off the dreams of an older generation. It's now our time for the next generation to sacrifice and plant seeds of faith for the vision God has put in our hearts. It's now time for our generation to make way for the next. It's time to step out in obedience and make a difference for generations to come. It's an amazing way to live. 20-something young lady recognizing in her life that all that we have in our life, it's from what she's saying, what mom and dad did for us and what my church did for me and what people did. All that we have today, all that we rest upon, all that we enjoy, it's because someone else sought God. Someone else was a legacy liver. And basically she's saying this. She's listening to her mother and said, go give your life away. Go give your life away and be a world changer. She's saying it's our time now to give our lives away. It's not our time to sit back and consume. It's our time to go make a difference. And oh, how we live in a consumer Christianity world. And I don't say that to disparage anybody. I really don't. But oh, there's a higher way to live. One of the reasons, and let me talk to you just, I'm not going to talk greatly about it. We're winding down now. One of the legacy initiatives God's put in my heart is this, is in the next year or so, I'm going to be putting this together and launching it the following year, is we're going to start a school of ministry here. It'll run in conjunction with our Monday night Bible school. And I want to take the next 15 to 20 years of my life, and I want to pour my life into people with a call in their life. Some of those people may have a call to ministry. Some may have a call to other areas of life. It doesn't have to be, quote, a ministry call standing behind a pulpit. I don't know whether it'll be 30 people or 300. I don't know. That's really not my business. My business is to do what I'm told to do. And I want to invest this next 15 to 20 years of my life in these three initiatives. One of them is this, is those Monday nights, is I'm going to pour my life into a group of people who want to do something significant with their life. I want to take them through 30 years plus of what I've learned, much of it the hard way, and talk to them about the values and the ability to walk with God, the ability to trust God, how to walk through walls when they stand in front of you, but you walk anyway through faith and grace, and God will take you to the other side, and He can do amazing things. We'll launch that, not next year, but likely the following, as it's developing in my heart right now. That's one of the legacy initiatives that's in my heart to do. Now's the time in this church, truthfully, to purposely equip and train not only the next generation, but anybody with that call to how to do it, how to live a life of legacy. The dream that I believe God has for this church is a legacy living church. Sure, we're always going to be reaching out and meeting the needs of people. This is a come as you are church. And like I said, you're welcome here if you're on your second chance or third chance or 50th chance. Because Jesus is a God. He's good. And He restores brokenhearted people. But don't you know, if you're here today brokenhearted, there's more for you than just getting a heart that's healed. There's a way for you to take that healing and to translate it into lifting other people. Because let me tell you, in the life of every person here this morning, you long for this in your soul. God made you for this. And I'll close by with again what Judy said. The secret to life is give your life away. Now go and change your world. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your great grace that's upon every heart, upon every life in this room. Certainly, Lord, I know there are people here today that are facing obstacles in their life, that are struggling, and life is, I mean, it's so hard. Getting to tomorrow, they barely got here today. It was so hard for them even to get to this church today. Lord, I ask You to help every one of those people to know that their life is not simply defined by what they're facing today. That You are bigger than their problem. You can bring them to new heights. You can redeem their life from destruction. You can fix the things that they even themselves have broken because You are faithful. And so, Lord, I pray over every person here that whether they be in that position today, or maybe they're in a place of complacency where You've done so much in our lives that we just kind of rested back and begun to just sit back and enjoy Your blessing, but forgot that there's a whole world that's desperate for Jesus. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that we live lives of legacy, that we will be and serve and walk with our God as legacy livers. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, if today you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, where would you spend it? Dear one, listen to this. This is so important. Jesus said there's a heaven. Jesus said there's a hell. When we die, we go to one or the other. That's not a scare tactic. It's truth. But He died and paid a debt that none of us could pay. And all it takes to have eternal life is to receive that free gift. So I hope I go to heaven. Well, hoping won't get you there. Church membership won't get you there. Listen to me, dear one. There is salvation in no church, including the one you're in today. No sacrament of any church can make you right with God, including any in this church. No pastor, no priest, no religious figure, no matter how lofty their title, none of them, including this pastor, this pastor of this church here, none of us can do anything for your eternity. Only Jesus. He's the only one who died. He's the only one who suffered. He's the only one who bore the debt that no one else could bear. He's the only one that was buried and rose from the dead and proclaimed you justified. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Christ, but I want to. I want to invite Jesus in my heart. I want to make Him the Lord of my life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, would you include me in that prayer? I want to invite Christ in my heart. I will pray for you right where you're seated. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. We will all pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you'd say, Pastor, Would you please include me in that prayer? We'll pray for you right there. The whole church will pray it with you. Say, Pastor, pray for me as well. Include me in that prayer. Lift your hand up real high right now so I can see it, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you, young man. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've not yet raised your hand. Thank you, sir. Say, Pastor, I've not yet raised my hand, but include me. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just lift it. Thank you. God bless you. Lift it real high so I can see it, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. Thank you. God bless you. The best decision of your life, to give your life to the one who gave his life for you, to live a life of legacy. His heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you raised your hand, or you should have, please pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. Come back next week and learn more of the great way, what the great way to live as a Christian. Not religion and not rules, but a way to live for God and walk with God. Make a difference in your life. Let God do something great in your life. But the first step is to receive the Savior. Pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior, to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I boldly confess, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.